Da han hørte hvilke ord som kom ut av munnen hennes, hoppet hjertet hans over et slag, og et sug i magen fikk han til å legge ned McFrysen han var på vei til å spise. For han så på henne at hun mente det hun sa. Men han spurte likevel om hun var sikker, og hun nikket unnskyldende. Men egentlig så hun ikke trist ut i det hele tatt, men letta. Og da hun nikket av restauranten, tenkte han på hva han skulle ønske han hadde sagt. Og det er sånne ting som gjør at folk sitter her og gråter noen ganger. Men sånn er livet. Og McDonald's er bare en liten del av det, tross alt.
Hei, og velkommen til intervju gjort av Gamingklubben. Jeg heter Vegard, jeg har med meg Hansa i dag.
Hansa er her i dag.
Jeg har med meg Kim.
Og Kim også er med
Kim også her i dag. Vi har en liten treat til dere. Det er veldig mange som har hørt om et spill. En liten god sjek for DNSG. Vi er... Veldig mange har kanskje hørt om et spill som heter Valheim.
Åh.
Vi har spilt det. Jeg har spilt det mye.
Den som ikke har hørt om det de siste to ukene har ikke følt med i gaming.
Ja, men jeg fikk en av de to millioner som har kjøpt det.
Nei.
Tydeligvis.
Tenk, to uker.
Vi har med oss en fra utviklingsstudioet som heter Iron Gate. Da har vi med han Robin Eyre. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, or lunch. Good lunch.
Yeah, good lunch.
Good lunch, Vietnam.
That's a different movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, how are you? How does it feel, like, having made one of the biggest games right now?
It's obviously very humbling. Like I told marketing yesterday, I said like, oh, the first week we were just hoping for like 20,000 sales, and I would be like, oh, this is so great. And then it never came down. It just kept growing. I'm like, well, what's going on? How do we have to slow this? Do we cancel the game?
No. Something wrong?
And then it just kept growing and growing. I was like, okay, what do we do? We keep on working, obviously. Yes, let's work.
Like, when were you told that the game was like such a big success?
So... I think it was when, yeah, okay, so we released on a Tuesday, and then Sebastian from Coffee Stain was like, okay, so it seems as like Steam wants to help us.
Ooh.
Or something. Like I was like, okay, I don't even know what that means. we're going to be doing a big push for this weekend. I was like, okay. And we're going to push for 500,000. It's like, nah, no way, stop it. So we sat down and I made some new art for the, I sent over stuff to the Coffee Stain and for the Steam page. Like, no way, we've got 100,000. This is good. We're good now. But then after that weekend, I think it was a Monday, it came... online and I talked to Devoid. Devoid is Richard Svensson. He's the main developer. He's the one who came up with the idea and who's been working super hard at the game. So he was like, okay, so we hit 500,000.
Whoa.
And, like, and from there on out, it was like just people would just say, oh, it's the biggest game. PC Gamer was writing stuff. And like every article I saw, or every, when it started popping up on YouTube, it was like, is this true? Do I wake up soon? Or it was just so strange. So I'd say the Monday, so 6 days after, I was like, okay, this is weird.
And it's been blowing up. Like, you've hit 2 million now, if I'm not mistaken. According to, what's it, IGN or something?
So we hit also. 2.1 million on Sunday.
And counting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to stop.
I don't know.
Like I said, I've been playing it a lot. Like 40 hours or something now. It's a great game. It's like, I'm not even, like, I'm not trying to, like, to be nice or something. It's actually great. It's that simple.
And it's, we're trying to figure out why is this the case? Is it because of, is it because other teams don't get to develop their games enough, or don't they get the time enough to do what they want, or why is it good? We don't even know why. We just want to make a game that people understand and simple enough to just like, okay, go do what whatever you want. Go die against that tree if you want to.
Oh yes,
yeah. That's that. Enemies.
Because that happens. Yeah. Like people die against trees.
That insta death. I've seen
so many videos where people are fighting trolls and they don't actually get killed by the troll, but the troll chops down a tree and the tree falls and you're like, no, my arch nemesis.
Like, that's actually, like, for me at least, that's the great thing about the game. It's just the openness of it. They're like, do whatever you want. There's no like tutorial that tells you, okay, like build this house, build that house. No, just go do something. Here you go. Here's the world. Have fun.
I would say Mugen or Hugen says stuff in the start, at least.
Yeah. Hugen.
So Hugen is kind of fun because we didn't know how to get people to... How do you move people forward in an open world where you can go wherever you want? So we had to design this little clippy.
Oh, I know what he is going to be called from now on. It's not
clippy. Clippy, yeah.
Yeah, so that it was really difficult because you don't want to give players too much of a determined path, and you don't want to give them nothing. So it's more like, okay, do whatever you want. If you discover certain items, he will come down and give you a tip. And... maybe in the future we might be able to turn him off and he won't show up, but at least you can punch him if you are annoyed.
Can you?
I've never tried.
Whoa.
So I've never tried this. And then he's dead. He's never coming back.
He just pops up somewhere else. So you have to punch him again.
Yeah, so just like take us back to like the beginning of development. Like you didn't work there from the beginning, right?
No, I didn't. So in the beginning, it was Richard. Just working on Valheim by himself, and it wasn't even called Valheim back in that time. It was called Fade with a J. So he had to change that name pretty quickly because if it was going to be international, people would say Fidged.
That's a great name.
Wow, Fidged. That would be really difficult for people to. For in, like in Japan, so he worked on that for himself, by himself.
Wow.
For how like long? A year or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, or maybe even 1.5 years or something. Like, but in 2019, he decided to go like, okay, so he got a publisher deal with Coffee. They loved the game from the start, and they really indicated really quickly that they wouldn't get too involved in trying to change the game, like let Richard do his thing because this is something really, really good. And he got his old buddy Henrik to come on board as well in the company. And then like 6 months after that, so this is like May, June or something, 2019, I got hired, and after that summer, I got started working on it. But when Richard, so when I got on, the game was pretty fleshed out. Like we knew what the game was, but there was only like 1.5, not two biomes, 1.5 biome up to swamps, I think. Okay. And not all enemies were in the game, but most of the starter enemies are still the same.
So the Great Dwarfs and...
Yeah, the Grey Dwarfs, exactly. And the shamans and the brutes, the trolls were there, skeletons.
And the trees.
And the trees. Yeah, the trees.
So, like, the initial idea Richard had, is that the same game as Valheim like ended up being?
No. Actually, he started on something called Tolroko. And this was supposed to be like in... Okay, so John Carter goes to Mars. Have you seen that movie? Maybe.
Name sounds familiar, but yeah. I can't really...
Yeah, so it's a big... So imagine you go to Mars, and it's a big desert planet, and you fly around in spaceships, and you build stuff out in the desert and stuff like that.
Okay.
So that was actually the first basic idea he started working on. Before they turned into Fidget, and then that turned into Valheim.
Wow.
I mean, fade, isn't that the like Swedish word for like a feud or something?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, fade exactly. Because in the beginning, the Valheim was supposed to be more of a PvP game. Just like other survival, some other survival games at least.
Yeah, because according to your roadmap, you have, if Odin wills it, you have, you're going to do more with multiplayer interactions. Is that something that's still on the table? And can you like, talk more about what kind of things that you want to implement?
Yes, so sure. So this is very hypothetical and very like, if we have the time and if we think it would suit Valheim, then we want to do it. But like one example would probably be like instruments.
Oh, hell yes.
like playing instruments together, getting buffs from that, or finding, or just like being together, doing something interactive with each other that would actually... Okay, so one of the fundamentals of Valheim is you don't actually just do something for the sake of doing it, or it, there's never... We don't put that much emphasis on cosmetics. Yeah. There always has to be a reaction and action. So... We wouldn't just put an instrument, for example, just for the fun of having an instrument to play a flute. So there would have some consequences to playing the flute or buffs or something that would actually benefit you from playing instruments, for example. So something like that. I'm not saying that we're putting this in, but that's an idea that I want to put in.
Yeah, I think that's a cool idea. Yeah. Have you played Lord of the Rings online?
No.
Because they actually have some sort of instrument system. That kind of works. Like a lot of people, they just post YouTube videos of them just playing, like the guitar in the game.
It's awesome. Cool. Yeah, something like that. Like that stuff like that. I think is very very fun and like more emotes and more easier ways to emote to each other or more interactive play.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So you came on in 2019.
Yep.
And what did they pitch you? Like what was the game that they told you?
I didn't really understand Valheim in the beginning. So when I applied for the job and I got to the art test, and so when I got the first screenshots, I thought, okay, so they're bringing me on to actually fix the game, because the screenshots that I got were so pixelated and so small that I didn't understand that it was actually the first neck that I was looking at. I was like, oh, it's not just a strange vegetable lying in the water. It seems to be a monster. And so I didn't understand the art style in the beginning. So I was like, okay, so I'm here to fix this, I guess. But it was once I got to play the game where I was like, okay, no, this is right. This is just the way it's supposed to be, and we just need to take this further. So this was when I understood what Valheim was, that everything came together. Like, okay, this could actually work and become really, really good.
And it definitely works. Like it's. Yeah.
I can kind of relate to your experience as a player. As I told you in the pre-interview yesterday, I got the game yesterday and I got to play some in the evening. And before that, I obviously only seen pictures and videos of people playing. And it kind of looks, the graphics look really bad from the pictures. Yeah. But then I got to play it. And as soon as the environment starts moving, trees are moving, the grass is moving, and you walk around, it's like this kind of, I even turned off motion blur, so it couldn't be that. But even then, it all seems so smooth. And the pixels are just kind of gone. They blend into the environment. It's really strange. So it looks really good when you're moving.
Yeah, it does.
And that's based on the pictures. You would never think that.
No, and I think that's why some people are put off by the graphical style is because it doesn't really do it justice looking at a picture. You have to get in there and actually try it yourself. To just like see what this is, what is Valheim?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, if you were to make a game like super realistic in terms of its graphics, and then having people build a lot of things, that's obviously going to slow the game down. So like, there's probably some sort of performance issue there as well.
I guess there could be, but I think right now, like Valheim is more of a CPU intensive game more than a GPU intensive game. So maybe that actually could work in Valheim's case. But the thing is that when we play games, all the developers, I think we all play games that actually take you out of this universe.
Yeah.
Graphically or mechanically, just take you out of reality. And so making a stylized game for us also, it never really ages because the style can't really age. Mm-hmm. But that's if you true. Do realistic games, that will age, and someone sooner or later will say, oh my god, that looks horrible.
Yeah, look at World of Warcraft. They're like, it's there's a reason why it's still popular.
Yeah, exactly. So stylized never really, it can't really age, but you can always put a timestamp on it, but it can't really age that much.
Yeah, it's very true.
And also in a game like this, if you try to make it photorealistic, an issue would become when you start building buildings, if you have a tiny gap or a tiny piece is off center, it would be like in The Hobbit, when they had a prop that wasn't like perfect, the 5K camera would definitely bust that prop and it would feel off. And I guess the same would be with this game. If you have you're trying to build the perfect Viking longhouse and you have a tiny gap in the photorealistic setting, it would look bad compared to now, where it looks natural, kind of.
And I think that exactly. No, but for like, so the way that we work, the whole workflow that we have, is never put too much details on the graphics, never put too much detail on the models itself. It's better that they work. It's always better that they mechanically just work, so people can have fun with it, because you can only look at something so long until you're like, okay, I'm done. I'm done looking now.
True. Very true.
But then, so... We work really fast on our stuff, and I think that's a big reason why I got hired as well, because I tend to work really fast on my things, not to make it bad or anything, but it's just the way we work.
Yeah,
we try to get things done so we can push it out, so people can test it, and so it's, okay, that's good. Okay, let's go on to the next thing.
Are you the only kind of like 3D artist on the game?
No, now we have Lisa as well, but she's mostly community manager at the moment. She's got a lot of things to do, but she has done a few models in the game as well.
Yeah, okay. I think she's the one who put me in touch with you.
That's all right, yep, yeah. She is.
So you have kind of, say, multitasking jobs at the studio. Could you tell us a bit about the size and the people? Obviously, you can't be too many people when you have the community manager also being a 3D artist.
No, so yeah. So I got in being a generalist artist. So I do everything from concept art to animation and 3D modeling. And then we have Richard, and he does like everything. He does a little bit of modeling. He does a lot of programming, obviously, and designing. And then you've got Henrik. He's also doing like everything. So everyone's always involved all the time. So Henrik he's doing like the producer job. He's doing designing. He's doing localization. He's doing translation. There's so many things going on at the same time. Yeah. And then you have Lisa. So Lisa is she's the newest addition. Don't forget about Eric. Eric, he's our dungeon designer. Ooh. And he worked a bit with...
Are there dungeons?
Hello.
So he worked a bit with Richard in the beginning as well, like helping out with maps and stuff and dungeons and creatures and ideas and how to flesh out the world and so on. But then he came on just before Lisa came on. He started working half-time. But Lisa is a really good example of someone who is also capable of doing so many things, because she comes in, she's fresh out of university, she's done her degree, and we're looking for a community manager. And it would be good if this community manager, because we were looking for someone like just 50%, this game's not going to be big. Just someone who's like has time to be community manager. And if they do, if they're able to model, that's a plus. So she comes along and she's just killing it. She's like, she's on top of everything. She's doing so much stuff, especially now then. But yeah, so everyone's doing a little bit of everything, and we have like meetings that everyone's involved in saying what they think. Is this good? And is this not good? Lisa's been our test subject a lot of times because like, is this boss too difficult? Lisa, go try the boss. And she'll go try the boss. Yeah, it's a bit difficult. Okay, we might need to nerf it a bit then.
Well, it just seems like it's like this game is, there's just like people just, a product of people just loving what they do.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So, when, like, for example, in the meetings, we'll have like, I remember we had a meeting. So I was redoing the Valkyrie that you fly in on, or who flies you in. And the old model, it was okay, but we wanted to bump it up a bit. And then we came into the discussion, like, it was me, Eric, we were sitting and talking, and we're like, oh, yeah, so boob armor or not boob armor?
Uh-oh. That's a whole topic.
Yeah. And then the nice thing was like, okay, so how do we figure out if we want boob armor or not? And I was like, Lisa, is boob armor good? She's like, no, it's not. It's like, okay, boob armor is out. And then that's what sorted. I was like, the fun, yeah.
It has to be great working in such like a creative environment with people. So everyone's just creative. Everyone wants to do everything. Like people just want to be a part of it.
Yeah. And I think that's good because you all have your own history and your own, what's difficult in a game. What do you love about a game? And is this good? And is this bad? And like, if too many voices are heard, it might become a very, very much like a mismatch.
Yeah.
But in our case, I think we're all pretty focused on what we think is good and what would suit the game.
It seems like you, because like a lot of these types of games, they try to do too much. Like there's too much things to do, or like how to put this, it's just too crowded.
Yep.
Like this game feels very focused, and in that it's very open, but like the whole part of it, like the whole idea is just it's an open world, like do something, and like that's just so freeing in a lot of ways.
And I think we did work hard on trying to, well, okay, so when I play open world games, I tend to stop playing when I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And it's always fun to see other players like, oh, I went and did this instead of doing the boss. And that's all good. But having some kind of progression that would reward you seemed like the best way for us to create Valheim and try to... There should be an end to Valheim. There has to be an ending somehow. But in the end, do you get to continue? Do you get to continue building your stuff and exploring the world a little bit more? We'll have to see.
Yeah, so that's why you put it, because you have five bosses, like, is it five or six?
Five bosses.
Five, and that's why you put them in, it's just to have some sort of progression.
And also it's, I think Richard, he likes boss fights, and I definitely love boss fights.
They're fun.
Yeah. And I think they're also like, they guess bosses are good because they get to test your metal, like, are you good enough to continue to the next place, yes or no, and then you just go and die.
So I was exploring this morning, like, just I jumped on my boat for like for a kind of first time and just tried to like sail around, see what I would discover, and I saw some dead trees in the distance. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna check this one out. And I saw this guy, I've seen him before, called the Death Skeeto. I was like, hell no. I'm going to turn around. I'm never coming back to this place. I hate them.
Yeah, the Death Skeetos are... they're I don't know. They're the bane. They're the... gatekeepers, I guess, of planes and death itself.
Yeah, they are. I guess you are heavily involved in creating them, so... How does it feel designing something that you get to hate as a player yourself?
Well, it was... I remember the first DM I got, like, after early access, and someone wrote... What did he say? He said, like... So who do I blame for making the disquito. Like, sorry, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and they even actually corpse camped our friend. So like, we had multiple hour adventure just to try to get his things back. Like, it just turned into such a mess. And that's the great thing about this game. It's like, we had that experience. No one else is going to have that same experience. And when you talk to people, like, everyone has different stories about the game because it's just random things happening.
Yeah, and I think that contributes to good storytelling, like, around a campfire. And that's what I think we want to bring that somehow into the game as well. Like, your adventures do matter. Nice.
Yeah.
Like, that would be cool to just come back home and, like, what did you see today? Or what happened to you? I haven't seen you in ages. Why do you just have one eye? Like, that would be really cool to, like, simulate that somehow. But yeah, Deskitos, they are... I remember the Monday. I remember the day they
oh no,
they got spawned into existence, and it was just like, we need something kind of flying enemy, either put it in the sea or something. And we're talking about, like, because up in the north we've got all these mosquitoes in Sweden.
Oh, yes. Yeah, same here. We know all of
definitely
us.
And they're big.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, exactly. So we're like, okay, the most annoying sound in the world.
Yes, true that.
Is the mosquito sound. There's no other sound that you can, like, you hear the sounds like, there's a mosquito here. He's going to, she or he, yeah, exactly. And that's the most annoying sound in the world, I think.
It is.
Yeah, you can hear it even in a big room. If there's one mosquito, you can hear it. You have no idea where it is because the frequency is... strange, so we can't determine if it's far away or close, but you will hear it.
There.
Especially when you go to bed and you turn off the lights and you hear like,
yes.
And you're like, oh no, it's going to be one of those nights.
The violin of death.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, that's a nice title, by the way.
Oh, I coined that.
Tomorrow, there's going to be a sixth boss in the game. Called The Violin of Death.
I like that title. So the Deskito, we was like, oh, we, it would be cool if we just put in like a swarm of Deskitos, like the mosquitoes. I mean, Richard says, like, they had in Diablo 2, they had these big swarms of mosquitoes flying around just eating you.
Yeah,
like,
they were horrible.
But what if it was just one big fat mosquito? And I was like, oh no, a big Deskito. But yep, okay, put it in. Make it so, Robin. Make the Deskito.
So you were to blame.
Yeah, no. We're all to blame. We share the blame in our company.
Oh my God. I hate them so much. But like, there's some, like, I kind of want, like, to, so I saw the planes earlier today. I was like, I still want to check what's out there. So I tried to find a way in, and then that's when I saw the skid. I'm like, no, not happening. So.
But the thing, so we've talked about, like, okay, so how do we want to balance the game? And normally balancing games is always like just numbers, just do the numbers, like nerf or buff.
Yeah.
But I think one way that we can actually change the game is like, okay, what about mechanics though? What if we run into planes and if you have a green torch, that would actually be Deskito repellent. Isn't that more fun than having just number crunching? So we try to think like outside the box and try to get like different workarounds instead of just, okay, troll is too strong, make trolls weak.
And also I've noticed like, bludgeoning damage is better against skeletons, like in D&D and stuff. So and like those kind of like
exploring.
Yeah.
Mechanical balancing instead of just number crunching, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Discovery instead of just number crunching. Yeah.
And there's a bit of logic to that as well. I mean, if you punch a skeleton with a hammer, obviously it's better than to poke it with a rapier.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. You know, but that's a lot of things that we try to think about and implement as well, like weaknesses. But the thing is that then that becomes which weapon is best in this biome. And there's always going to be like the min-max.
Yeah.
Which weapon is best? Always take this weapon if you're going there. And that becomes a bit of... boring gameplay as well, like you can't play with your favorite weapon, but then again, like, it does make sense at least.
And that kind of brings up the point that I've kind of thought about for a while, because you have some MMO titles, especially that have like, it has like 100, 200, 300 upgrade paths. But there's always going to be one that's mechanically, like, that's number wise, it's going to be better than everything else. But when you kind of leave that out of the game, it kind of leaves more mechanical things you can do, like, and players have having to learn by themselves instead of clicking on a button and like having a new like power or something.
Yeah, exactly. And I think if we can do more stuff like that, for example, the green torch, a guck torch that would repel mosquitoes, or even more like weak points further down the line, would be really cool as well.
I think
something we talked about.
I think this will fit very good with the game mythology. You know, it discovery. Going through not number crunching, but you know, telling a story, telling a mythology about your experience in the game. It's very good.
No, I think I strongly believe that is the right path for us, at least, for just like coming back to camp. I fought this troll, but it seems as like I when I used my bow and arrow, I could kill it easier. I was like, oh, really cool. Spread the information. Now we know how to kill trolls.
Yeah, I've actually had that kind of experience last night, actually, playing. We had like a couple of community members joining our Discord and just joining our channel and just talking while we were playing. It's like, have you seen this kind of like stones? It looks like a ship. Just like out in the wild. It's like, if you dig down, there's treasures. I'm like, what? I've never noticed. I've never noticed like these things before. So like, I've been playing it for 40 hours and I had no clue.
I'm getting so many spoilers here. I'm going to have to play right after recording.
And that's something I think we want to reward people for exploring and like thinking on top of the toes and just doing so. Like for the buried treasure, we like the treasure might not be super awesome, but the fact that you're like, okay, but I've seen in the history channel that these are old Viking graves. Yeah. And I wonder what happens if I dig down. Oh, there's treasure. Oh my god.
Yeah, it's so, and that kind of thing where like the game doesn't tell you like there's something here, but like kind of hints at it. So if you figure it out, like I discovered this thing. Like the game didn't tell me, I did it, and that's a cool thing.
And we have loads of other places where there are other treasures as well, because Eric loves to hide treasures.
Nice. Secrets. I love them.
digging is my mojo. I mean, in Minecraft, I can just go total zombie and mine a 2x1 shaft for 3 hours. So I need to get one of my guys to give me a shovel on the server or whatever you used to dig and just put me to work, boys.
Pickaxe.
Yeah, pickaxe, I guess.
Like also like one of my favorite games of all time is Ultima Online. It's an MMO that came out in 1997, 98. And it's the exact same thing, kind of. You start off the game with 100 gold and just like a random sword, like go do something. And it kind of brings me back to that almost, where you can craft your own story if you want to just build a house forever. Here you go. You have tools to do it. If you want to kind of like rush through the game, that's your choice. That's, yeah. I'm so hooked. So talking about the future, you have this roadmap called Roadmap 2021. So I'm guessing everything is going to be hopefully released in 2021. So the first update is called Hearth and Home.
Yep.
What up?
Okay. So I can't say too much because we're still in the process of like deciding what's going in where. Do we need this? What do people feel about this anyway? So we're right now we're just listening to people and the feedback on what people seem to do the most, what people seem to enjoy the most. So in what's it called? Hearth and Heath? Heath and Hearth?
Hearth and Home.
Hearth and Home. Hearth and Heath and Home. Hearth and Heath. Okay. So you can basically expect us to have more build pieces.
And with
build pieces, we will have like, okay, so maybe you could find like tar pits somewhere. I don't know. Maybe. I can't say that that's true yet. But tar would actually help you like impregnate wood. So yeah. It would be...
Stove shit, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's something I can actually say, or maybe I shouldn't say, but I'm saying it anyway.
Well, Kim kind of fished it out, so.
Yeah. So I've been looking at a lot of Stav Shirkur.
Yes!
Nice.
And I've been looking at a lot of shingle roofs.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yes.
That's something that's actually that I've already made.
That's
done.
That's going to be so amazing.
Yeah.
I hope so. I've made a bit steeper roofs, so you can build even more steeper roofs. So you get these really pointy roofs and stuff like that.
Oh my god! I can't imagine sinking like 20 hours into building a Stavskirke. Yeah.
I think people will like it because that gives us more a Norse kind of feeling as well.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
So more kind of that stuff. A lot of build pieces, a lot of more stuff for your home, your decorations, your around the campfire, and just stuff around your home, basically.
Would that provoke Odin if you made a Stavkirke? Would he come down and kill you?
Smite you.
Yeah, that's a really good question, because now you're mixing two religions.
I'm actually in the process of building some kind of temple in the game.
Nice.
Like somewhere. So I found this clearing in the forest. I'm building a temple there. So I'm not telling anyone where it is. So when they find it, they're like, what the hell is this kind of thing?
And those things are so cool. I actually scared myself playing once. This is my own server. And I've been around exploring the world, and I usually mark places. And so one time I'm out on my boat with my friend, and then we see this place with... Like at the shore, there's a little house, and there's a burning fire in front of the house. Like, no one gets to get into my server. But people don't know my password. How is someone building something over here? And I run up to the place, and I don't even recognize my place because it's been so long ago since I was on that server. It's like, someone has been on my server. And so I surprise myself sometimes.
So it's a really, really big open world. That is what you're saying.
It's huge. Yep.
It is wow. Big.
It's a pretty massive. Like, download is 1 gigabyte. Like, how the actual hell?
Damn.
I'm surprised at the 1 gigabyte myself. I was like, is this a full game, Richard? I was like, yeah. It's been like that for a year, Robin. Don't you pay attention? Like, oh, I don't.
Do your job.
Wow.
So you have a couple more updates. You have one called Cult of the Wolf. Is it too early to talk about it?
It is a bit early.
Henry Sylvan.
Yes. I mean, maybe.
Ragnarok.
Stop. Kim is deciding the game at this point.
Sorry.
I like your enthusiasm and I like your ideas.
I like yours too.
So update 3 is called Ships and the Sea. And there's already a ship and the sea in the game.
We had a lot of, not a lot of controversy, but people were looking at the trailer and then they saw the roadmap and like, what? We're not getting ships and seas in the game?
Yeah.
We're like, yeah, but it's in the trailer. But then there comes the question, like, why are people false advertising stuff in the trailer in their own games that's not in the release? Hmm. Which is weird, because otherwise you wouldn't have that question come up, right? Mm-hmm. So Ship and Seas is exactly what it means. It's hopefully we can implement customizable ships.
I'm waiting for the custom longship.
Oh my god.
So this is where you can launch the PvP, where somebody is in England and somebody is in Scandinavia.
that is true. Although you can already turn on PvP now if you want to. So you can go PvP nuts as much as you want already. But yeah, so ships is going to be like ships and seas, more stuff in the seas, more ships, more stuff and ships.
Yes. It's kind of interesting because one of our community members, Mr. Flight Lord, I'm just going to credit him. He found something that looks like a cargo ship. I'm not really sure how he found it, but like he went through your assets.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nice.
Like a cargo ship?
Like
a Viking cargo ship.
Ah.
So when we were making the trailer, the first trailer, we were like, okay, so we're going to be like four or five Vikings on the ship. maybe we want to up the ship a little bit. So basically that was just the ship we made for the trailer, which also spawned the idea that, okay, so this is cool. We can put like different sails on here. We could actually make the cargo bigger. Would that be something people would like to invest in, like resources and stuff to make that?
So cool.
It is in the game. You can't really build it. You can spawn it, but it's basically this just a long ship with some extra bling bling, or so to say.
And speaking of ships, we also found something else.
Here it comes.
A spaceship. Yeah.
What?
What the actual hell?
Okay, so in Valheim, we want to try to... So you know about the different ages. You've got the Bronze Age, and we've got the Iron Age, and so on. Yeah. Sooner or later, you're going to have the Space Age as well.
What?
Say nah, what? Joking.
You ruined the game for me.
So this spaceship is actually something from Tol Rocco that I told about in the beginning. Did I say? I talked about Tol Rocco, didn't I?
Yeah.
Okay,
exploration,
good.
Exploration construction game.
Exactly. So this was the basic ship that you'd use to traverse the big sand dunes and everything.
Huh. Okay.
And that's just a remnant of an age far gone by. <Yeah.
laughs> Or maybe if you dig far enough down, you'll find something.
Mm-hmm. You never know.
Keep digging, Kim. Keep digging.
Yes, yeah, so I don't even know. This is the first time I've actually seen it spawned in game. I've only seen pictures and stuff from when Richard was working on Tol Rocco. So I'm really impressed that someone found this and dug it up.
Yeah, Mr. Flight Lord.
Yeah. He's an enthusiast.
Yep.
Yes.
So. So how often are you going to update the game with more kind of things? Is it just like when it's ready, or do you have some sort of plan?
Right now, we don't have a plan for when the first update's going to be, because we're really deep into fixing bugs, so that Valheim's going to just be working for everyone. I think that's the main focus right now, making Valheim playable for everyone. We believe that there's enough content now for... Especially for an early access, we believe that we have enough content for some time, at least.
Ride the success a little bit.
Yeah.
But we don't have any dates. Our motto has always been like try to make... Just to make it work and make it good first before releasing anything. We don't want to release stuff and have it break on day one. So we'd rather just take our time, make it good instead of... just releasing stuff that won't really work or people are not even interested in it. So we're trying to listen to the community as much as possible right now and see this could all change. Like the whole roadmap could be like, oh, this is a waste of time. If people don't want it and if it doesn't really suit Valheim, then it's really just a waste of time and resources. And
because you mentioned early access, and that's like a hot topic in gaming.
Oh, yes.
Some people really hate it. Some people like it. Some games are stuck there forever, like for 5 or 6 years.
Yep.
As I understand, your plan is kind of to develop the base game until it feels complete and bugless, and then go out of early access, and then you will add more content. Or could you talk a bit about your mentality around early access?
Oh, you mean like early access, not the content patches, but like the whole early access in a whole, or?
Yeah, I mean, do you guys have any plan for how long this is going to be early access? Are you going to release a sort of full version this year or anything around?
All right, okay. So we know that how long a biome takes to create a biome. And with that in mind, the biome, a new biome is the thing that actually takes the longest time. Mm-hmm. With that in mind, we have lots of things like extra stuff that we want to put in because we want a complete Valheim before releasing it as a full game.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean everything has to be in there. There'll still be coming content patches and everything after we release it as a full game. But just for the early access, we at least want to create the full experience of Valheim. And then be adding on even more stuff after the full experience.
Yeah.
Feels fair.
Yep, definitely.
Because we've talked about early access games on our podcast quite a lot, actually.
Yeah.
And sometimes we like it, sometimes we don't.
There's been a lot of bad examples, especially on Steam, where you have early access games that just stay there for 5 or 6 years and then they kind of die out and the game hardly ever releases. I mean, sometimes they release it after 6 years, but then nobody is playing it anymore. So it feels so strange to call it early access for such a long time, if you know.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that's something that will benefit us is the art style and our workflow. Because we are, with the art style and the way that we work, we are able to push out stuff really fast. And I'm not saying it's a promise, but I know that when we do start working really, really hard, content will be coming out really, really fast. That's all I can say.
Sounds very good. So we've talked a lot about Valheim. We've talked some about the company. But I have one question to ask you because we're kind of running low on time.
All right.
Unfortunately,
sorry, yeah.
I want to talk to you for hours and hours and hours about this game.
And days and days.
And days. So you're, first of all, you're more than welcome back at some other point if you have anything to talk about or just... For like, yeah, just to talk.
I'd love to come back though. So you just let me know when I'm allowed back on.
Yeah, sounds good.
Tomorrow.
Let me dig something first. Yeah. Like, I need to find a tracker or something first.
What's your top three games of all time?
Currently. Of all time. Currently. My top currently today of all time yesterday is Metroid.
Oh.
Metroid is a huge inspiration and huge, the exploration and everything going back and forth is better in Metroid is, I love it. And I'm talking about the first version Metroid for NES, yep. And I'm talking about Super Metroid for SNES.
You're actually great not games. Alone on that title. You are in this room, but we had one guy on our community server as well. Yeah. I think it was also a game developer actually from Sweden.
Really?
Martin, yeah.
Anander.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. So Metroid, Super Metroid, I love it. I just love the atmosphere and everything in Super Metroid and the original Metroid. I'm going to put them as one. Mm-hmm. How many more do you need?
Two more. Top three.
Two more. Okay. Number two, chronologically, would be Final Fantasy VII.
Oh yes! Hell yes!
That's the game that influenced me to actually want to become a game developer at all.
Whoa.
It's a great
game. So that's something I had in mind like since I was, 14 years old, 16, something like that. I was like, okay, I need to, this is what I want to do when I become a bigger child.
What do you think about the remake?
I love it. I think I really enjoyed it. It's interesting. I don't know if it's all true or not, or which timeline am I going to use in my mind. I don't know really yet, but I enjoy it.
Yeah, I played some of it, but I just wanted more Final Fantasy VII. Like so.
Yeah. No, it's like yeah, it's if Final Fantasy VII was made today, this is what it would look like and feel. So I guess, but I think there's more mystery in the old game.
Definitely.
And for my third one, Dark Souls 3.
Oh,
yeah.
That's my...
So, all of them made in Japan, actually. Aren't they?
Oh, right. Yeah, that's true. I used to live in Japan as well. And I learned Japanese when I was there. So that maybe that's a correlation or something.
Yeah, it might be. Wow, Japan.
Culturally influenced by living there.
Yeah. Mm. Exactly.
Damn, did you stay there for long?
I lived there for two years studying Japanese because I wanted to study animation and start anime and stuff like that.
Yeah. Damn, cool.
But then I was like, okay, I think I've had enough of Japan and went back to Sweden.
Like, because you're also from New Zealand, like half?
Yeah, my half and half? Half New Zealand, half Swedish.
Have you ever lived there?
Yeah, when I was up to two, three years old, I was living in New Zealand.
It's my dream, and then we my dream vacation.
Yeah, to go there. It's number one as well.
Yeah,
I would definitely recommend going there. I was there for like three summers ago. Yeah, and it's just it's the culture is nice, people are nice, the plants are nice, the stones are nice.
It's like Norway in so many ways. Yep. Just. Even better climate, much better wine, one of the best wine countries in the world. And the mountain biking there is also insane. So it's like 3 out of 3 for me.
You're missing the biggest thing.
Ah, okay, okay, of course, of course. The Lord of the Rings. The Lord of the Rings.
I went to Shire. Yeah. The Shire. I went there, and I had the kids with me, and we were. It was a really hot day, and we were walking through the Shire. I was like, oh, this is amazing. We're the, this is the Shire. and we were standing outside of Bilbo's house, yeah, and I was like, kids, steal those stones. and they started to steal the stones from the ground. So they picked the stones, and I was like, okay, let's bring them home. This is our treasure now. Bilbo back in the stones.
Precious stones. Yes.
Did you go to the tavern?
Oh yeah, yeah. I got some really nice mead over there as well. It was really good.
They got mead there?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. And they have like ale and mead and some kind of juice for the kids.
I want to go so bad.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I wish they didn't tear down Edoras either. That imagine going.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That would have been so cool.
Oh my god. Okay, I'm just like my mind is there already. Like. Yeah.
Everybody's totally gone on vacation already.
Yeah.
The border is probably still closed, though, I guess.
I guess so.
They don't have any issues with the virus.
No,
there.
They haven't for like half a year.
But I don't want any either, no. I think.
I mean, if you're a billionaire, you can go there.
Yeah.
I've read.
Yeah, probably. Or if you've got a boat or something or an airplane.
Oh, let's go Viking.
Yeah. Yes, let's go with our long ship.
Hey, yeah. Well, we've been talking for, let's see, almost an hour. We told you that it would last for about 20 minutes.
We are sorry.
No, it's okay. I talk a lot.
Yeah, and that's awesome.
I kind of can't believe how you have time for this. I mean, I mean, your studio isn't huge. You have 2 million players, and you're developing a game. But we really, really appreciate you really taking the time for this.
Yes, 1000%.
I just want people to understand that we're just normal people trying to make a game. And
you're normal people.
We're just normal people. We're not Vikings, actually.
And I'm looking forward to seeing the Violin of Death in game at some point.
Oh yes,
yep. The Violin of Death title. Yes,
I want royals.
Royals, all right, okay, I'll talk to Richard to see what we can do.
Well, it's been absolutely amazing talking to you, Robin.
Oh, it's been really nice being on here as well. You guys are really good guys, so that's good.
Oh, thank you.
thank you.